The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Second Chronicles chapter 20. You know, I really love these Old Testament stories. These are what I call God stories. Especially the ones about battles. I've always been one of those freaks that loves battles. I remember when the movie Patton come out, I just couldn't sit still. I loved that so much. Not because of blood and guts and all that, don't get me wrong, but the strategies that go into everything and the way it works out behind the scenes, behind the lines. There's so much that goes on we don't even know about. But tonight's going to be a story about a man named Jehoshaphat. Most of you know this story, but I'm going to try to maybe bring it to you where it's in a different light. Now, he became king of Judah at age 35 after his father Asa had passed away. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years, he followed the ways of God. He didn't go by the ways of the idols, the Baals of that Israel did. You know, every time you'd read in there about a new king, you said, and he did evil in the Lord's eyes. That's not something I want to be said about me. Amen? Amen. That we don't do evil in the Lord's eyes. But God was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the God of his, God of his father, David, and his commands rather than the practices of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, he had got great wealth. Just like Solomon, because of his commitment to God, God blessed him. And God blessed Jehoshaphat. And he just prospered so much. But he made some mistakes along the way. And that's what strikes me. That's what I love about this. It kind of relates to me. He made mistakes along his way. But God was still with him. Oh, is that some hope tonight? That we don't have to be perfect? Good. Amen. But he encountered a problem when a vast army headed his way, but he was able to pray and praise his way to victory. Jehoshaphat prayed a prayer which moved the heart of God and had the equivalent effect of a nuclear bomb going off on this army that's coming at him. So let's learn from him the power of prayer tonight. You know, it's always a curious thing to hear kids pray. I'm sure all of you have listened to your children pray it sometimes. Dear God, please give my brother some brains, because so far he doesn't have any. That's one prayer. Sometimes kids will say, Lord, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman. Here's one that I like. Please help me in school. Oh, I need it. I need help in spelling, math, history, geography. Oh, yeah, and writing, but I've got everything else covered. Need some help there. I need a raise in my allowance. Can you tell one of your angels to tell my dad? Or another one, might be the case back here in a while. I'm saying my prayers for me and my brother because Billy's 6 months old and he can't do anything but sleep and wet his diapers. So help us out. Then we had this 5-year-old saying grace at dinner one night. Dear God, thank you for this pancake. You know I love pancakes. Amen. And his parents kind of looked at him puzzled and said, why did you thank God for pancakes? You know we're having fried chicken. I just wanted to see if God was paying attention tonight. Stuff that we might say but never would, right? Prayer moves the heart of God. Amen? Let's look at verses 1 through 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Menites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. And it's already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved, here it is, to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now tonight I want to share with you six steps to remember when you're in a battle with unsurmountable odds. Step one, seek God. Seek God. You know, Jehoshaphat, now he had a big problem. This vast army was coming, and now not one army, not two armies, but an alliance of three armies. Kind of put that in perspective. I see a lot of men here, and I know y'all know football. It'd be like the Denver Broncos when they're at the top of their game, not this year maybe, but at the top of their game going against all three of their division rivals at the same time. That's the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Chiefs. Now, it's hard enough to stop Mahomes and his 10 guys, let alone 33 of them. Amen? It's 11 against 33. Just not going to happen. The Broncos aren't going to win. I don't care how good they are. You know, a great multitude of Jehoshaphat's enemies were headed his way, readying themselves for battle. And they're only 25, Engedi's only 25 miles away from where they're at. Now, granted, this is, you know, they didn't hop on the bus or have their trains going and all that. They're just 25 miles away, and it's not going to take them long to get there. And at one time, as we learned in chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat had almost 1 million soldiers. That's 960,000, if you want to add them up, not counting the ones that he had fortified all the cities around Judah with. So it was pretty close to 1 million soldiers. Him and King Ahab kind of got together. Ahab was king of Israel and wanted Jehoshaphat and his army to help him go against King Aram. And Jehoshaphat agreed. He agreed to do that. Yeah, we'll do that. He said, but let's hear from the prophets. So King Ahab got his prophets together, and they all came and said, oh, yeah, no, you're going to be victorious. Go into battle. Go out there and fight. It's going to happen. And they're probably saying, especially since you've got Jehoshaphat and his army with you. But Jehoshaphat was a little concerned about that. He said, don't you have another prophet of God that we can consult? Ahab said, yeah, I got one, Micaiah. But he never says anything good about me, so I don't want to talk about him. You know, you've heard the story. Reluctantly, he brings him in, and Micaiah, all the other guys said, listen, this is what we've told him. You've got to say the same thing. Oh, I can only say what God tells me to say. Kind of curious about that, but I don't know, because it comes out differently. Because he asked him, oh, yeah, okay, and go, you're good. And he said, now I told you, swear to me that you're telling me this from the Lord. He said, okay, you're not going to make it. Don't go and fight. There's going to be people everywhere with no leader, no nothing. Don't go. So he looked at Jehoshaphat. See, I told you he never says nothing good about me. Go put him in jail. And he did. Sent him away. Well, they went into battle anyway. Now, Ahab, he's telling Jehoshaphat, I want you to dress in my kingly robe, my kingly attire, and ride my chariot. I'm going to dress up like a soldier and go out and do some fighting myself. Jehoshaphat agreed. What he didn't know was King Ahab had hired him 32 ninjas that are ready to go looking for that King Ahab. So they went out, and here they come. They saw this king in his chariot with his robes. That's him. Let's go get him. But God had opened their eyes, and Jehoshaphat called, oh, Lord, help me. And he did. They saw that it wasn't him, and they left. Well, King Ahab, in the meantime, somebody had shot an arrow just randomly in the air, and it ended up going between his armor. And later that night, after the war was over, they'd lost. They were routed, and he died. But Jehoshaphat made it back safely to Jerusalem. So that was a big mistake in my book. But God was still with him. God was still with him. Oh. In the message, the word says shaken, that when they all came to him, Jehoshaphat was shaken. In our NIV, it said alarmed. And I can only imagine the actual size of this army coming against him. You know, in Jehoshaphat, knowing how close it was, he didn't see a solution at the time. Has that ever happened to you? You had an army coming at you, You had a bill collector knocking on the door? I hope not. I've been there, I'm not going to lie. Not proud of it, but it's happened. And you don't even want to answer the door. You don't want to answer the door, but it happens. But maybe you feel that way today, that you've got a battle you're facing and you don't know what to do. But just wait. You're about to see how that problem is going to be a blessing in disguise. One of the first things we need to do when we have a problem is to seek the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did. You know, he didn't turn to the Lord when he tried everything else, as so many of us do. And I'm pointing the finger at me too. He didn't go down to his situation room with his generals and say, "Hey, boys, what's your ideas? What are we going to do?" Or he didn't say, "Hey, here's my idea. What y'all think?" That didn't happen. No, instead, the very first thing that he did when trouble came was to inquire of the Lord. How many of us do that today? When we have something at us, we just stop and go straight to Jesus. No, you sit there and try to see what you got in your back pocket to fight with. You know, we can come boldly to God's throne of mercy, as Jehoshaphat did. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with" what? "Confidence." I love that word. "So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jehoshaphat, he called for a fast for the entire community, men, women, children. They came together to seek the Lord. Let's look at verses 5 through 13. "Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as inheritance. O our God, would you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." All the men of Judah with their wives, children, and little ones stood there before the Lord. Step one was seek God. Step two, know the one you're seeking. Know the one you're seeking. You know, when you encounter a problem, it's helpful to look back over your shoulder and see what God did for you in the past. That's what King Jay did. God didn't save you just to abandon you. His name is I Am, not I Was. You've seen him work in your life in the past. Well, believe that he will do so in the future. You know, if you know God, then you know you can trust him. Amen? Amen? He is able to bring something good out of every circumstance in your life. Romans 8:28, we all know it. We don't even have to look at it. And we know that in some things, and we know that in small things, you're paying attention, aren't you? No, all things, great and small. It doesn't matter. It's all things work together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Do you love him tonight? Yes. Do you know that each one of you have been called? Then what's the problem? Exactly. King Jehoshaphat, he embraced that promise that he had from his past. He unashamedly poured out to the Lord that the enemy was trying to take away the possessions God had given him. Look here, you're not going to embarrass God by standing on his promises. When trouble comes, you just do what King Jehoshaphat did. He reminded God of God's promise to Abraham, his friend. This army was going to drive them out of the land that God had promised Abraham that they would possess. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, God had told them, he had told Moses not to mess with these people, to leave them alone. You know, they'd come and they were killing people, they were getting ready, they were taking over the land as they were going through. And the Edomites, they were descendants of Esau. The Ammonites and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. God had protected them from the Israelites. And Jehoshaphat was reminding God of this. He told him, you said to leave them alone. We did. Now look what they're doing. You know, look back in your past and see how God has brought you this far. You know, he hadn't changed. He's for you. And knowing that he's for you and knowing God, you find a promise in the Word and you stand on it. Now, step one was to seek God. Step two was to know the one you're seeking. Now, step three, be humble. Oh, there's that word, humble. Something that's real easy to do, right? King Jehoshaphat exposed his powerlessness. You know, the king didn't strut around with a cocky attitude because he was king. He didn't say, God, I deserve you to take care of all this. No, instead he admitted he didn't have the strength, the resources, or the knowledge on his own to overcome this enemy. He called out to God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're looking to you. Oh, that's devotion. That we would be able to do that in our time of need when trouble comes our way. You know, if you have your eyes solely on God, can't look at anything else, can you? But yet, how often do we forget about that? Let's look at verses 14 through 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in assembly. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who lived in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Oh, a very loud voice. Can you just picture that? Whew. I get excited thinking about that. A very loud voice. You know, it's wonderful when the Holy Spirit of God takes a promise from the Word and makes it real to you and me. That's the promise of the Word that we have today. For the battle is not yours, Steve. It's God's. Amen? Amen. I could put everybody's name in that situation. The battle's not yours, Gene. It's God's. Rich, it's not your battle. It's God's battle. Let him fight for you. And don't get in his way. Amen? The load is lifted. The care, it's gone. And the worries disappear when God tells us that the battle is his. My victory, my joy, and yours doesn't depend on our abilities. And thank God it doesn't. Amen? It's our response to God's ability, the greatest ability of all. You know, God told them to march down against them. He told them where the enemy would be at the end of that gorge over there at the desert of Jeruel. He said, you won't even have to fight. And here it comes. Are you ready? I love this, as Pastor Dave would say. Take up your positions. Means get ready. Be prepared. Take your positions. Stand firm. That might be the part we have trouble with. Amen. And see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Man, go out and face him tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. If that don't get you excited, I don't know what will. Go out and face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. You know, everybody in here probably has a microwave, right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you actually wait till the bell goes off before you pull the food out? And how many of you, it's got 5 seconds left, I'm taking it out, I'm ready. I can't wait. I want it now. Amen? Yeah. Stand firm. Now, these people all remembered the stories of their past, how God had delivered his people. You know, they've heard these stories all their life. And when they heard these words from the Lord through the prophet at King Jay, and all the people bowed with their face to the ground and started to worship God. Then some Levites stood up and began to praise the Lord. And the word says, with a very loud voice. Man, that had to be like one of them good old Pentecostal hoedowns that we used to have. I mean, people running, shouting, screaming, praising God, just getting it all they got because they've got the joy of the Lord. The song, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Woo! Man, is that good. You know, so many times we want to get in the battle. We're ready. Or get to work without as much of a thought of stopping and worshiping God. Here they got the word of the Lord. They all bowed and worship. Why do we think that we always have to fix our problems ourselves? Well, I should say myself. I know I'm not talking about anybody else in here. There's just simply nothing, and I'll say it again, there's simply nothing more important than prayer and praise and worship in preparing to battle your problems. The man or woman who kneels before God can stand before any problem. Amen? Amen. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. I don't have enough room up here. I got to get some bigger stuff. So early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. His love endures forever. Now, step one was to seek God. He's already sought him. Step two was to know the one you're seeking. He knows God and what he's done. Step three was be humble. He humbled himself and admitted he didn't know what to do. And step four, believe the truth. They've got the truth from the prophet. They know what's going to happen. Now they got to believe it. And step five, continue to trust. Now, tomorrow's here. Excitement, it's in the air. People are ready to go. Jehoshaphat's giving his pep talk to his army. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Then he goes one more step and appoints singers to go ahead of the army to praise God for the splendor of his holiness. So the king tells me, he said, hey, I've got this great young kid named Chris. He's from the tribe of Tomlin. Great songwriter. And he wrote this great song. I want you to sing it going out in front of the army. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. You know, they know trumpets blaring and people marching, even drums playing. Remember Jericho? You know they did. And remember on Jericho, they couldn't even open their mouths, right? Not to say a word until that last time. But a choir? Really? Okay. Now here was it. It's early in the morning, and they're excited. You know, they've all finished their coffee and had their Egg McMuffins. They're ready to go. They got their tanks lined up. They got their bazookas ready, their anti-aircraft guns. They're just waiting on the word. Let's get it. And now the king wants to put a choir up front? What's he thinking? When's the last time you put your choir up front, namely yourself, in your battle? When's the last time? Something to think about. But it's here. It's ready. Let's look at verse 22 and 24. As they began to sing and praise. We'll say that again. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to that place that overlooks the desert and looked toward that vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Wow. You know, when the choir began to sing and praise, the Lord set his plans in motion. Plans for victory. It's in the when that God does the miraculous work. Praise infuses us with the energy of God and confuses the enemies of God. Didn't start till they started singing, and that's when it happened. I'm thinking that when the Ammonites and Moabites heard Jehoshaphat's army coming and these guys were singing, they're thinking, what in the world's going on? They're not scared. They're not shaking in their boots. They're not going crazy. They're just singing. So then I'm thinking, they must have thought them sorry suckers. They got Mount Seir guys to go along with them. Once we started fighting, to kind of make it even out those odds. So then the Ammonites and Moabites probably started thinking, we're not going to let them get the best of us. So they started fighting on the Edomites and completely killed them all, destroyed them. Confusion. Praise infuses us with the energy of God and confuses the enemies of God. Then you had two armies left, the Ammonites and the Moabites. So then maybe they're thinking, did we kill the right army? I wonder if they got this army to go along with them, and then we just thought wrong, and now we're even getting less. So what'd they do? They started killing each other, started killing all over again. Both armies fighting against each other until there was no one left. OMG, is God good or what? You know, something to think about. I wonder, because these armies were fighting each other, you're going to be down to two guys left, right? One over here and one right here. What are they thinking? How mad must they be at each other to keep on fighting and kill each other instead of running off for the hills. I've often wondered about that. How did the last two guys do it? How did they make it through that? They ended up dead because, like I said, no one survived. You know, God's ready to move on our behalf. He's just waiting on our praise. Amen. That's why we sing the songs we sang tonight before this message. Every service. We might have some differences sometimes about how we do service. But most generally, we sing and praise songs of worship before the message. You know, we need God's help to destroy our inhibitions, our problems that we face before getting to church tonight. Such as, you know, trying to hurry up because we watched Texas OU game too long. That was a good one, wasn't it? But it's happened to me. I'm sitting there trying to, it's happened. Then I try to hurry up and get late, and I come in here, I'm thinking about that football game. Or how about a disagreement we might have had with our spouses? Where are we going to eat tonight? I want to go here. No, we want to go over here. No. And the next thing you know, you're coming to church like this. Hi, how are y'all? Doing good. Nothing has ever happened to me. They said, you're not going to church dressed like that, are you? Hopefully that hadn't happened to nobody. Amen. No, you got to come here and just come in ready. You got to get into the worship. That's why we do this, to get all that out of the way. You got to come with an open heart, open mind, open ears. Sadly, we secure our own defeat by our lack of praise. I hate to say that. And then we wonder, man, I really didn't get nothing out of that message. I can't even tell you what he talked about. No, that's never happened here, though. But I've heard of it happening in other churches. Did you really take an active part in worship? Or were you just going through the motions? Another song that we've all heard. You know, if your problem is caused by the enemy, then praise the Lord. It doesn't fit the devil's grid of how to attack your problems. When we attack problems God's way, we're going to enjoy his provisions. Confusion, it came into this enemy's camp. They went off after each other. And it doesn't say what they were thinking or how it happened. I was just having fun just thinking about that. Yeah, you joined up with them to fight us behind our back. Well, we're going to take care of you. But God caused that confusion. They didn't really know. They didn't have their battle. I'm sure they had a battle plan, but it's out the window now. I've got this army coming and they're singing and praising God. Maybe even doing little dances are coming down. I don't know. I would be. Hearing what I'm hearing and seeing what I've got. I've got all this weaponry behind me, these tanks and guns and stuff. I'm not worried about nothing. I'm out there having a good time, ready to go fight. Plus, hey, wait a minute. He said I wasn't even going to have to fight. All I got to do is show up. How many of you showed up? How many times do you show up when it's time to show up? Or you just sit back and say, well, somebody else can do that. Somebody else can go over here and take care of that. No, it's our job, our responsibility to seek God, follow these steps, and get where we need to be. But yeah, the enemy is always confounded when God's people praise God, especially in the place of difficulty or impossibility. The enemy just can't handle it. He can't handle it. He can't handle it. Let's finish this up by reading verse 25 to the end of the chapter. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat and all the men of Judah and Jerusalem, returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they had heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Oh, rest on every side. Aren't those some wonderful words? One more time. Step one was to seek God. Step two was know the one you're seeking. Be humble. Step three. Four, believing the truth. Five, continuing to trust. And six, the last step, praise God no matter what. No matter what. There's victory in your praise. Victory in your praise. Here it was, the battle was over, and the people gathered all the weapons up, the equipment, clothing, silver, gold, and jewels. You know, in those days, when an army defeated another army, they took all their jewelry and necklace, and then they put it on, and they go into the next battle when they got ready. And they had all this stuff on to try to intimidate people. Man, look what I got. Looked like a bunch of Mr. T's coming down the road. You know how that goes? Remember all that bling? That's what they look like. So now they've got all this. It was so much that it took them 3 days to collect it all. Remember what I talked about earlier? The blessing in disguise. Here he had this great army coming. Didn't know what to do. But now, because they followed God and listened, this blessing is coming to them with all of this spoils of the war. You know, the same will happen for you when you get your victory. You won't be able to contain your blessing. It took them 3 days. Wouldn't it be great to take us 3 days to just receive all of God's blessings for us? Because we obeyed him, trusted in him, we sought after him in his ways. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Baraka and praised the Lord again. You know, I'm thinking they had a big old, like we're talking about a potluck. I bet they had the fried chicken, potato salad, watermelon, all the desserts. I'm glad nobody's hungry here. All the desserts that you could think of. Coffee, too. All-day camp meeting. Baraka means praise. The Valley of Baraka. The Valley of Praise. I can only imagine what that looked like. You know, if the devil attacks you and you praise God, you're going to find that the devil becomes God's messenger to bring your blessing. Think about that. If he attacks you and you praise God, you're going to find out that the devil becomes a messenger boy. Just the way it should be. With no power. And God always brings victory. You know, it might not be a victory in the way you're expecting it. That's another thing. But it's still victory. And when the victory comes, and it will, praise him. Amen? Well, say hallelujah then. Because it's going to come. It's going to come. Here they all got back to the city, and they went straight to the temple with trumpets just blasting and blowing and harps and lutes doing whatever it is they do. I don't know. But they were just making some noise. But one thing they didn't do was say, look what we done. No, they weren't out there boasting and bragging. But they probably started singing a new song. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time, and I'm going to praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. That's where that song came from, in case you didn't know it. I got the copyright to it. That was from that army. My. You know, it must have been something for all the rest of Judah to see this. A triumphant army returning with all that good stuff, with all those spoils, and hearing how God had defeated this army, one of the mightiest armies of the day. And the men of Judah never even drew one sword, let alone a casualty. Because why? Because the Lord had said, you won't even have to fight. This is my battle, not yours. And all the surrounding kingdoms had heard, Jehoshaphat's God. How mighty was what he done for them. Had them shaking in their boots, or sandals, whatever they got on. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace and had rest on all sides. Peace and rest on all sides. Didn't that sound good tonight? When's the last time you had peace and rest on all sides? Glory to God. There's a painting in a museum, and it portrays one way that the American Indians hunted elk. Now, it shows a herd being driven into a river, and nearby were many canoes, each man with warriors, with spears. Now, the purpose of this, once in the water, the elk would be easy prey for all the warriors. You know, the Indians, they had approached the herd from three sides there, and then they'd start making all this kinds of noise. And hemmed in and scared to death by that noise, the elk, they wouldn't turn to face them. No, they'd turn tail and run for the only opening available to them, in this case, was the river. Though good swimmers, the elk were no match for the swift canoes and the Indian warriors. Dozens could be speared in just a few minutes. Now, if you think about it, had these elk turned and instead of running for the river, started running towards that noise, they probably would have broke through the lines and been very few casualties. A bad choice cost the lives of many in the herd. And just like the elk, we do the same thing. And just like the elk, our tendency is to run away from problems that the devil's hitting us with. You know, you can run from your problems, but sooner or later, you're gonna have to face them. You're going to have to fight. And you know, tonight's the time to face those problems. But this time, turn and face them with God on your side, because he's for you. Anybody here facing a dark time in your life? Is there a formidable army coming your way and you just don't see any way out? Is that devil knocking on your door and you don't want to answer because you're not ready? Then it's time to call upon the Lord as Jehoshaphat did. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. But Father, my eyes are on you. Oh, that we could just say that. Our Father, our eyes are upon you. You ready for some peace and rest? You can have it tonight. You know, if you want prayer, I just want you to stand up right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. A lot of people don't like that. But if you've got a specific battle, a specific problem, I'd like for you to stand up, and we're going to pray with you. And if you don't, then praise God. It's good to be in your shoes. Amen. You know, I've had a lot of fun tonight. But also, this is a message that God did put on my heart for this time, because I know all the battles that we're going through with the election coming, with the unsurety, the uncertainty of what's happening with this COVID and the finances, health. Just don't know. But I know our eyes got to be on God. Amen? Amen. We've got to be looking to the one who can win the battle. And we don't even have to lift a finger. All we have to do is believe. Stand firm. Be ready. Stand firm and then see the deliverance God will give you, because he will. He's going to give each and every one of you the victory that you so desperately need in everything in life. Amen. Father God, we just come before you tonight thanking you, Lord, for the victory that we're going to have in our battles. And Lord, we're praising you for your power, your supremeness, Lord. And Lord, we're going to rely on you. We're going to trust in you. And we're going to call upon the promises you have for us. because we trust you, Lord. And we just give it all to you because we don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. And we turn to you tonight, asking for your deliverance through this battle that we're facing. That you would just strengthen us to be able to be the warriors you designed us to be, as you did for Jehoshaphat's army. You told them to get ready. You told them to stand firm. And you told them to see the deliverance that you're bringing. And we're praying that same prayer tonight, Lord, for our nation, for our country, for all situations and problems. Our eyes are on you, Lord. Help us tonight, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about